Hey all, welcome back to the People of Product Board podcast. I'm your host Jan, and today I have the pleasure to be talking to Eva. Eva is a product manager here at Product Board, responsible for the roadmapping domain of our platform. It's always fun and also kind of meta to be talking to PMs in this company. Well, is there a better person to talk about product management than a product manager that's actually building a dedicated product management platform for other PMs? Well, you be the judge. Outside of all of the PM related stuff, we're also going to talk about Eva's previous experience as a consultant, about her perspective on hybrid work, or about the professional skills that she actually uses to her advantage in her personal life too. Thanks for listening. Hey, Eva.
Hey, Jan.
Hey, welcome to the studio, and thanks also for bringing your furry friend, Angie.
Yes, she's actually not my friend, my dog. She's a dog of my engineering manager, so I'm just babysitting her for the afternoon.
That's lovely. How nice to have a dog-friendly office. Brings a little light to the days full of work and stress sometimes, huh?
Super nice, especially during meetings.
Yeah. Listen, so perhaps we can kick this off just by starting with, what's your role here at Product Board? What do you do?
Sure. So I am a product manager here in Product Board. I am responsible for our roadmaps domain. So my job revolves a lot around talking to customers about planning and aligning and helping them also with our product to get that job done.
So when I was starting at Product Board, and I'm obviously not in product itself, I'm in sales, but back when I was starting, I had no idea about what product management was, right? So perhaps the first question that I always wondered was, how does one even get started in product management? Because also I'm quite aware that the notion of the modern way of doing product management is quite new, right? So if there's someone that's thinking about starting a career in product management, like, how do they get started? Or perhaps tell us a bit more about your own journey. How did you get started? What led you to becoming a product manager?
Sure. So I think there is actually very little people, or like not that many people, who started or who studied product management. I think usually you study something else and then you become product manager. So I think there are product managers who were doing business before, some are doing design, some are technical, some are engineers, or came from customer facing teams, just customer success. I used to be a consultant. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of these agile transformations. And I really was driven into like actually doing the job and actually building stuff. So I think a lot of product managers have this drive of building the product. What's the question you ask? How do people get?
Yeah, if I'm a person that's interested in product management and perhaps I want to develop some skills to be a better product manager, how do I get started? What do I do? And perhaps what are even the core essential skills that a PM should have?
So I think it really depends where you come from. So if you came from engineering, you're probably going to develop a different set of skills than if you came from business. Mm-hmm. So I came from business, right? So because I was a consultant, I had a lot of skills that were around like communication, creating presentation, stakeholder management, like the actual analysis part. So that one I got already down when I started, but then a lot of the skills I had to develop were around, well, the actual, let's say, the technical skills, mm-hmm. the brutal prioritization, let's say, the clarity in communication, the process skills, I think, mm-hmm. were also something I had to develop.
Mm-hmm. So that's a really broad range of things that you had to learn, right? You started, for example, by saying the technical knowledge, like coding, programming. I don't personally have any sort of background in that, but perhaps I would be personally interested in exploring, you know, how could I become product manager? Is there a necessity for me to have some sort of a technical background or knowledge if I ever want to go into product?
Good question. So I actually didn't study engineering or anything like that. I did a little bit of a coding in R, but that's it. But what I did before I started this job was I took a 3-month coding bootcamp.
Okay.
So I actually tried to learn, like, I think mostly React, a little bit of Python. And I do think it helped, but I also don't think it's super necessary to do that. I think you get that a lot on the job. Plus, like, the reality of the actual development is so much, like, infinitely more complicated than what you cover in a coding bootcamp. But I do think it helped a little bit to at least, like, try out, you know, like, we coded super basic application with a backend. And it's like now when my developers talk about the backend, the frontend, I actually kind of understand what they mean, right? So I think it helps to at least try to learn the basics.
Okay. You mentioned this was a 3-month bootcamp, coding bootcamp, right before you started working at Product Board?
Right before I started, yes.
And okay, just very, I guess, technical question. You already got the job before going on this bootcamp?
No. I always wanted to learn a code. I just wanted to know if I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
So I first did the coding bootcamp, and then I think during the coding bootcamp, I applied to Product Board.
Okay, nice. Because I was just thinking whether you would get the job of a PM without that technical background, or whether you could actually already say when you're applying for the job that you have this technical background. So leverage that.
I did, yeah.
Okay.
And I think the manager back then appreciated that I at least try to get practical, because I think the comment I got back then was that consultants are very, you know, high level, not hands-on. So the fact that I did actually try to learn how to code, I think he appreciated that I try to get into the detail as well. But I don't think you need to do that, at least not for 3 months.
Sure. So now, as a PM, you feel much more hands-on than back when you were doing the consultancy work?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Because as a consultant, like, even though I did the type of work where we, like, came to the client and develop a certain app for them or with them, actually, and then, like, because we were doing it with them, we were teaching them about Agile or stuff like that. Well, I was hands-on, but it was always like a very limited period of time. Like, you go there, you were there for 3 months, and then you leave, right? And what I really missed was the experience that I actually stay with the product, right? I can improve it. I get the feedback. I get to know the team, the developers, and, like, I basically have, like, my baby that I can take care of.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. So we've covered the technical background, the technical knowledge. Let's dive a bit deeper into those other skills that we've talked about and that you briefly mentioned. So you've mentioned, for example, stakeholder management, right?
Mm-hmm.
What does that even mean? What does that mean in your scenario?
So as a PM, you have a lot of people that you have to communicate with on a daily basis, right? So you have your own product team. So and there is, like, also degrees of that. So there is the leadership of your product team, which is the engineering manager and the designer. Then there is the other engineers on your team.
Mm-hmm.
Then you also have to communicate with the product team, but in a sense that other product manager in our case, pillar, right? Because our teams are super well connected between each other and we have a lot of dependencies. So my closest PM collaborator would be, for example, a PM doing prioritization board, features board. So you have your product team, but then you have also a lot of people outside of the organization, right? So you have people from the customer facing teams who, of course, you know, you collaborate with them on the customers. You also work with the product marketing who helps you through the launches, right? So there's, like, a lot of moving parts. Of course, the customer facing teams want to know when is stuff going to be released, right? They want to help with the customer calls. I want their help as well because I need to understand, like, the feedback the customers are saying. So, but I think the gist of it is that you have a lot of people to communicate with, and then you have to always identify who are the key people to build a relationship with.
Okay.
So in my case, I think it's super crucial to build a really good relationship with the trio, so with a designer, engineering manager, right? Let's say that there are other people in a customer-facing organization, because if I have a good relationship with them, sometimes if I need a feedback, I just send them a Slack message. They immediately provide me with the feedback on a feature. So yeah, there's a couple of people that I think it's very good to have very close relationship with. And also if you have that relationship with them, then it's also easier to say no at some point, right? Because as a PM, that sort of brings us to another important skill of a PM, mm-hmm. which is like a very brutal prioritization skills mm-hmm. and ability to say no to a lot of people all the time. Because a lot of people, like if you have a domain such as roadmaps, a lot of people want a lot of different features from you, right? Mm-hmm. And to most of it, you have to say no or not now. And you have to be real nice about it. So it also helps if, you know, they like you personally, because then they know I'm just not saying no because I like saying no, but we're saying no because our resources are limited. So, yeah. And I think maybe with the prioritization, it's not only the features, but also of your own time. Because I was actually thinking about this recently, that as a consultant, I felt like I actually had to prioritize bit less than I have to do now, right? Because as a consultant, you're very limited in terms of like time. You're like on a project for 3 months or so. And then every week you have a customer, well, check-ins with the customers. So like the scope of work every week is quite given, right? Like it's often a lot of work and you work long hours, but it's quite like clear what you have to do. But as a PM, mm-hmm. it's kind of different because like at any given point of time, there's so much work to do, right? I have a to-do list that is basically infinite. So I had to learn the hard way that I don't have to do everything. And I really like the framework of the scale of urgent versus important. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I primarily try to do what is urgent and important. And then also try to think, okay, what is important and not urgent. And then the reality is that everything that's not important, I mostly just don't do or mm-hmm. just cannot simply do unless I want to work 20 hours a day.
All right. Well, thanks for that. So you mentioned two things. You mentioned collaboration with the triad and also with other stakeholders in, for example, the go-to-market team. And you've mentioned also the importance of soft skills, right? So that you're able to have good relationships with them, get that necessary insight that you need from them as a PM to be able to have an idea of where the product stands, what the customers want, but also be able to decline some of their needs, let's say, or wants that they're asking from you and still keep that good relationship. That's the first one. And then we talked about, or you talked about the prioritization aspect, right? Which is, that's quite interesting to me, because when you linked it with the consultancy work, it almost seems like that consultancy was more project management focused, right? Where the scope of the work was sort of defined prior. But when you're a product manager, it seems that you always have to be aware of the fact that maybe you're not working on the right thing and you have to always iterate. And you have to be also able to not just say no, but also perhaps, you know, stop one initiative, even if you started it already, and prioritize a completely different one, right? And this is something that I, in sales, for example, have conversations often about the difference between project and product management, because a lot of companies are going through this transition. Was this perhaps a big part of your transition from the consultancy work to product?
I think partially. I think it's quite a common problem that a lot of the companies, right, there were certain projects with like fixed time, fixed scope, and then suddenly we are changing completely the way we develop products into, mm-hmm. let's say, agile iterations and so. But I think the difference between the project and product is that, to me, project manager is mostly responsible for the process, mm-hmm. right? That like, it's the person who sets the deadlines, informs people of like the outcomes from the meetings, makes sure people do their stuff. If they don't, they remind them, things like that. And in the end, there is like a project, right? If the project is like slipping, they're responsible for reminding everyone or telling that to everyone. And I think there is an overlap because PM actually is responsible for the process as well, partially. But I think there are some differences, right? So as a PM, I'm not responsible for the whole process end to end. There is this, like, in a product development lifecycle,
Sorry, we got interrupted by a furry friend, which is always a nice interruption, though.
Furry friends needs attention.
Yeah, so, you were saying?
So, I was saying that in a product development lifecycle, there are the different phases, right? So, typically, it starts with problem discovery, which means that the team or specifically PM is responsible for making sure we are working on the right problems and discovering the problems our customers face. Mm-hmm. Then we're going into solution discovery. So let's say we've already discovered what are the problems, we prioritize the problems, and now we're going to work on the solutions to the problems. So that's, let's say, the second part. And then there is another part, which is the actual delivery of the solutions that we have discovered. And the last part is, of course, the go-to-market and the follow-up. And typically, in the product team or in the product leadership, PM is responsible for the value risk, right? So the risk, or actually de-risking the delivery of the right product. So are we making sure we're working on the right problems? Then as we go into solution discovery, it's more on the design and engineering to actually come up with the right solutions. Mm-hmm. And then as we go to delivery, it's up to engineering or engineering manager to make sure the delivery goes according to the plan, right? And then, of course, when the delivery ends, then it's the go-to-market, and it's just more, again, the product manager. So I think that's the difference, right? So project manager typically is responsible for something end-to-end, whereas in the product team, we actually sort of shift the responsibilities as we go. And I do think that, you know, product manager should somehow have an overview, of course, of the entire process. It's not like I end with discovery and give it to engineering and go, okay, you guys have fun. I'm still there. I still help answer questions or make decision on scope in case we need to cut scope. But it's not that I'm the sole responsible person for the entire process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And also, I guess, those individual phases, whether it's product discovery, product delivery, or the go-to-market motion, you cannot really separate them completely at all, right? They're closely connected. And ideally, you should be constantly getting at each part of the process feedback, whether, you know, this is really the right thing that we should be working on, whether it's from engineers or the customers themselves. And also, perhaps it might show up that this product that you're working on, this new feature, is going to be much more complicated than you've initially thought it would be, which means much more effort, and maybe it's not that high of a priority at the moment if it's that much effort.
Yeah, so, that happens, I think, yeah, a lot, that you estimate something, and as you start actually diving deep and breaking down the problem, you discover it takes much longer. But I think what we actually started to do recently with our pillar is basically several teams together. And something I really like, that our leadership asked us to estimate the first 6 weeks in a quarter with high confidence, and then the rest of the 6 weeks with medium confidence. And basically, as the time progresses, the confidence gets lower, mm-hmm, right? So it's sort of expected that, you know, something that's a year from now probably doesn't have a very high confidence in terms of when it's going to be delivered. It's more of a, like a vision than actually delivery time.
Okay. Okay. Interesting. So when you've mentioned, I'm quite interested about the structure of the team itself, right? You mentioned pillar. Be very specific here. How many people are in a pillar? What does a pillar consist of? How many pillars do we have in product board, et cetera, et cetera?
Sure. So in product board, it's actually a good question. How many pillars do we have? I think we have four. We have four pillars.
Okay.
Each pillar is responsible for different, I don't want to say part of the product. We also shift the structure a bit recently. But basically, we have the different surface areas, such as roadmaps, the prioritization board, and we have a sort of platform teams there that help us to deliver this part of the experience, such as filtering or the permissions team. We have another pillar that's more about collaboration and driving that into the product. I think there is also a platform pillar and a growth pillar. So pillar for us is, let's say, a group of teams that are like centered around specific topic. And each pillar has a leadership, which is engineering leader, product leader, and design leader. And then each pillar has the different teams, right? And each team, there is, again, the same leadership. So a design leader, a product leader, and engineering manager for that team.
Okay. And these teams that are part of each pillar, how big are those teams?
It usually depends. But for example, my team is 10 people.
Okay. And the ratio of those individual roles is what? Let's see, how many engineers, how many designers?
So we have one product manager, one designer, one engineering manager, and the rest is typically engineers. It could be that in some teams you have a dedicated quality engineer, but typically now those are more on a pillar level. So you have, in our case, 7 engineers.
Interesting. So with your particular domain roadmaps, what are you most looking forward to in the next year, let's say? What excites you?
So we have a lot of exciting things coming. So we are building part of the experience as a new experience. So that's pretty cool because we can redesign some of the concepts. We can bring new functionality. We'll bring very soon initiatives into the product, which is a feature that has been requested for a while. Mm-hmm. And I've personally been working on it for a while. So I'm excited. That's like something that's finally getting into the product. So I think that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. What's the most exciting thing for you when you, as a PM, what gets your day going? What makes you come to work, you know, excited to do stuff?
I think my favorite part is when I get to collaborate with different people and actually have these problem solving sessions where we, like, you know, we sit together, we close the room for, I don't know, 1 hour, 2 hours, and we actually come up with stuff and we can move on. We solve the problem, right? Or we actually move at least in some direction. I really like these things because I think it's personally a bit my character, where I'm very extroverted. So I like to solve problems with other people. Mm-hmm. I also, of course, like the part where when we release something and then I see customers use it, right? So obviously that's also why I do it, because I do like to be part of building stuff. What else? So another thing I really like about my job, and that personally gives me a lot of purpose when I actually do it, is to think about the vision for my particular part of the product. Mm-hmm. To really think, you know, if someone would open roadmaps in this case in 1 year or 2 years, what would the experience be like and how can we get there? And that might be me personally, I'm not sure if that's every PM, but I think that's actually, yeah, also one of the coolest aspects of the job, that you're like the mini CEO of the area of roadmaps in my case. And I can really think, you know, what would the best in class product be like, and have that ambition, and actually also transfer the ambition to the team, right? Because mm-hmm. I stand in front of the team and I tell them what the vision is and like what they are contributing to. So actually to also be able to motivate them, okay, this is the vision and you can be part of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What else? I also, maybe I'm the only one, but I also like actually creating presentations and think about, you know, how to tell the story.
That's the inner consultant in you that you're channeling right now.
Yes.
PowerPoints.
Those PowerPoints that are like well structured with nice colors. Action titles. Well, the action titles and the structure is what gets me going, yeah.
Nice. And what frustrates you at your work?
There is also a few of these things, yeah. So I think what is frustrating is, and we are of course trying to improve it, but if multiple teams have to work together and there's like a lot of back and forths and like it's hard to reach an agreement, and then no one knows who is the one that should be making the decision, and there is a couple of weeks of this vacuum and people just don't know. I think that those can be frustrating moments. Yeah, I think the lack of communication for me is frustrating, because I try to always over communicate everything. So when someone doesn't communicate something and then other people make a decision based on the lack of communication or because they didn't know something and it's a bad decision, that these moments always get my blood boiling.
Yeah, I can imagine. And that's also a skill that one has to learn, right? Over communication. Because when you come into this environment, you have no idea how many moving parts there are and what confusion can be created so easily out of nowhere.
Yes. It is also meta for us, right? Especially for roadmaps, because we not only have to think about, you know, the planning for us, but because we are creating the product, we have to think about it on a meta level. Like, how do people in general create roadmaps and communicate the goals to the business or to the customers? So I think you ask me what makes my job fun, and I actually do think that makes my personal job fun is that, yeah, my customers are other PMs. So I actually, on a daily basis, I talk to other PMs, and when I talk to them, I can first like relate to them very well because I do their job as well. But also the part where they tell me about how it works at their organization. So, you know, I learn about a different organization and I can make, you know, like also some conclusions from there. It's like, okay, well, this works for this type of organization, this for other type of organization, which I think is great for like pattern recognition and actually building a good picture about how great product organization should operate.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And I think about it from time to time, how meta, how confusing sometimes perhaps it can be for you guys. Because in some sense, it's a gift, right? You're creating a product basically for yourself. So you have a good level of insight and understanding. But at the same time, it's a curse in that sense that you're also super biased, probably. And you have to be always aware of that. And even though that you're, you know, experts, really like true experts in this domain, you still have to listen to the customers and still keep in mind that perhaps there are different ways of working and different ways of doing things.
Yeah, I think that's real, the bias and like having to think that we are not necessarily always, you know, the best example of a particular customer, right? Like, we can easily make some conclusions, but it can easily be that for an enterprise customer or for a very small startup, it actually works a bit different. So yeah, we have to be aware and call that out.
Yeah, I was just listening 2 days ago to a recent podcast with our CTO, Daniel. He was telling the story how when they were starting with Hubert, they basically read up every book that existed on Amazon on product management, you know, and they were really the domain experts. And then they thought they knew exactly what they were supposed to do. Then they start building the product and they realize, okay, companies aren't actually working in this ideal product management fashion. So we cannot build our solution, our product, just based on those books that tell you exactly how to do it. We still have to take into account the customer and what these companies are ready for and adjust the product to that workflow so that companies can actually adopt the product and it's usable.
Yeah, I think that's very true. And I think that's always a bit it's always a bit tricky to have like a certain model and just apply it, you know, to a complex system, right? So when I was a consultant, like we had this agile model of how a company should operate, right? And we try to apply it for banks and for pharma companies and for telcos. And there were always differences, right? It was very hard to apply the same model to all the types of organization. Like there are always differences that you have to keep in mind if you want to be truly excellent. Yeah.
So one thing that I wanted to ask you, I'm going to switch tracks here a bit. I wanted to ask you about your perception of that modern trend of remote work / hybrid work / face-to-face. What do you think about it? What do you prefer?
So I think personally, I like to come to the office, mostly because of the dogs like Angie. Just kidding, of course. But
Not the people, just the dogs.
Just the dogs,
yeah, agreed.
I think though, in all seriousness, that it makes a big difference if I see my team in the office. So my team is mostly in the office. There are some members who are a bit more remote, but we try to be at least a few days a week in the office. So in my case, I sit in the middle, right? On my right hand is my engineering manager. On my left hand is my designer. So every time we have a small questions or, you know, we are solving some problems, I can just easily turn around and actually ask them, which of course you can still make meetings if you're remote, but it does make a difference, right? What also makes a difference is these like random coffee chats with people that you meet at the office, because then you can make random friendships and random relationships, like with someone from sales. And I think it's also very hard if you're not in the office. That being said, I don't think it's necessary that you're in the office 5 days a week. Personally, I am not 5 days a week. I think I'm usually 3 days a week. Try to do 1 day a week for sure at home. Just simply because even though I'm extrovert, you know, I meet so many people, I just sometimes like need to limit the interactions, the social interaction, because even I get exhausted. So yeah, I do think a hybrid model is, well, at least for me, is the best, but I also think it makes the teams more efficient and it makes a lot of difference if, you know, my team, for example, is in the office and I can see the collaboration, the relationships, yeah, thrive on that.
Yeah, it sort of takes us back to those soft skills and developing the close relationships with the people that you collaborate with the most. Then, you know, if the people have the chance to get to know you better, perhaps, than when you have to say no to them because of that ruthless prioritization that you're going through, they're going to have more understanding and they're going to know to not take it personally, because otherwise you're quite a kind person.
Well, I try to be, but I think it happens a lot that like I have 2 minutes to reply to a message, so I say no, or like I have to quickly reply. And if the people know you, then they don't think, well, this person is mean, but they think, oh, maybe she's busy because I actually know who she is. And yeah, it's not that she's trying to be a bitch or something.
Yeah, so that's a good concept, because I, especially with that communication on Slack, for example, I had to learn that too. Like, I wasn't really prone to use emojis or like these expressive symbols that much. But then I realized that for some people that can come off as sort of rude, you know, and you have to, even if you think it might be a bit cringy at times, like you have to sort of push yourself to try to make even that digital communication as expressive as possible, right? And convey the emotions via a certain way, via the emojis, for example, because it's super important. And humans aren't really adjusted to communication which lacks this emotional aspect to it.
Yeah, I think you raise a very good point. Especially if you have the personal communication, right? And you can easily guess the tone, right? Or like if someone, I don't know, I think I'm a very efficient person, right? So I've received the feedback in the past, I sound passive aggressive in Slack, even though I definitely don't intend to, but because I'm direct, like it just seems that way. Yeah, so I think it's kind of work to like double check yourself, right? And then for me, like make sure I don't sound passive aggressive, perhaps use smileys, but it's additional work that you have to put into it.
Yeah. So last question, you've mentioned feedback. I talked to Malvina, our senior product designer, a couple of weeks ago, and she told me about this whole routine that her and her team have around feedback and gratitude, and about really promoting this strong culture of sharing what others think about their work and growing together. Do you have any set processes in regards to that, where you're sharing feedback with the people that you collaborate most closely with?
Good question. So we have, on a team level, we have what we call the retrospective. So it's one of these agile events that we do every sprint, so every 2 weeks. So on a team level, we try to do that regularly, right? So there is, of course, part of like what works well in that particular sprint, what didn't work well. But those are usually like actually practical things that happened, like, I don't know, this deadline slipped or this miscommunication happened. Or on the positive side, right? Like we did this really well. Like we did this breakdown of the task really well. But there is also part that specifically talks about, I think we call it kudos, something like that, that is just for like calling out a good job by someone in the team, right? Can be anything, can be for the actual work, but can be for organizing a great dinner or for doing a great presentation, for anything that other people perceive that someone did well. But yeah, I very much agree on Malvina. I think it's super important to call out good work, because I think that, you know, that's a big motivation also for me. Like if I get a positive feedback, right, it motivates me. It gives my job a purpose. So I specifically try really hard to, if I see a good work, to specifically call it out, be it, you know, someone from my team, be it my boss, anyone really. Yeah, because I do think, I don't know, it's my personal mission to also uplift a bit other people in this, because in my previous job, it's not always been given that someone gave it to me. So I also make it a personal mission to try to do it for other people.
Yeah, yeah. And one of those key outcomes from what you just said and from what I've been observing in the past months is that this is also a skill, right? And it often doesn't come just by itself. Those expressions of gratitude and telling someone that they did a good work, although we would love to think that we naturally have that in us, not always, but it does so much for the team bonding and for the collaboration between the individuals.
I think it's crucial, right? And especially with the closest collaborators. So for me, from engineering manager or designer, right? Like to actively tell them, I'm so glad you're in my team, or I'm so glad you're my designer, engineering manager. I think that does make a difference, because it also like builds relationship, the trust. And of course, if someone says that to me, I'm also happy. So I think, yeah, to me, it's part of that relationship building and being actually effective, because good relationship then save you a lot of effort, save you a lot of miscommunication, because you have that trust with each other.
And also, it's one of those skills that you want to transfer to your personal life too, because this is not just a matter of the professional, you know, career aspect of our lives. Expressing gratitude is something that is good to do in the personal life too.
It is, for sure. It is. Yeah, I'm trying to do that. Yeah, it's also with my friends, right? To tell my friends, like, I'm so glad we're friends. Even in personal relationship, right? Like, I'm so glad you did this for me, because I think if you do that, then you can be the light that perhaps you are missing in your life. And I think everyone is sort of responsible for that.
That's a great point to wrap things up with. Eva, I'm gonna try to make a short summary of what we talked about. We talked about a lot of stuff. We've talked about the necessary skills that a product manager should have. We talked about the aspect of technical knowledge, whether it's important or whether it's crucial or no. We talked about the aspect of collaboration with various teams, with different pillars. We talked about the necessity of ruthless prioritization and saying no, and about the necessary soft skills that a PM has to develop if they want to be good at their job and have good relationships at their work. We talked about the difference between product and project management a bit. We talked about the structure that we have in product board set up with the different pillars and teams under them. We talked about what you like and what you don't like. You mentioned that you like the collaboration piece of your work. And what can really drive you mad is that miscommunication that sometimes happens and why you try to over communicate a lot always. We talked about hybrid work, and finally we talked about feedback and gratitude. It was a great conversation. Do you have anything to add?
No, I think we covered it all.
Lovely. It was great having the time with you here to talk about all things product management and about your journey. And hope to talk to you soon again.
Thank you, Jan.
Thanks for joining. Ciao.